Welcome to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
Well, have you noticed that everyday things like groceries, fuel, or even a cup of coffee seem to cost more than they used to? That's inflation, and it affects all of us, often without us realizing it. Hello and welcome to another episode of PGIM Smart Investing, a Money and Me investor education initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund. Well, this is a show where expert insights meet everyday financial wisdom to help you make better, smarter money decisions. In today's episode, we are talking about inflation in simple terms, what it is, why it happens, and how it impacts our daily money decisions from spending to saving. To help us break this down, Ravi and Lisa will explore what inflation really means for ordinary people and practical ways to deal with it in today's world. Over to you, Ravi.
Welcome to Smart Investing Podcast. Today, we are diving into inflation, the silent force that hits your wallet, your investments, and your future wealth. The prices go up, headlines show CPI numbers, and the markets move in seconds. But what does inflation really mean for your money? Why do interest rates rise and stocks react and your savings lose value? And most importantly, how do you stay ahead of it? In this episode, we have Lisa with us, who will help us understand inflation in simple terms and share smart investing strategies to protect and grow your wealth in a world where money is always changing. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Ravi.
So, Lisa, every month the government publishes something called Consumer Price Index data, which is CPI inflation, and the markets always react to it, you know. So, what is this connection between the CPI number and, you know, the capital markets?
Ravi, you're right. So, and as you correctly pointed out earlier, inflation in simple terms means price rise, right? Technically speaking, the consumer price index or CPI inflation that gets released and published every month is the annual price rise. And that represents a basket of goods and services, which our Ministry of Statistics considers as reflecting spends within urban and rural households in India. So that's what technical inflation is. But what's more important is that inflation is one of the main considerations for the Reserve Bank of India when it comes to thinking of adjusting its benchmark, what we call repo rate. If inflation is too high, it's not good for the economy, and the RBI tends to increase rates to slow down demand and vice versa. Now, this benchmark rate is what the banks borrow from RBI at. So if the rate is too high, the cost of funds for banks will be high, and in turn, they will raise the rates offered to borrowers. So that's how, in short, the ripple effect of high inflation is high overall borrowing costs in an economy. And it means, along with price rise, even further lowering of purchasing power for individuals and lower profits for corporate India. Now, that's an expected negative for the capital markets, right? But remember, capital markets, be it debt or equity, operate on expectations and only over time adjust to the reality. So rate hike announcements in reaction to inflation are generally speaking seen as negative for economic growth, and rate cuts are seen as conducive. So this is how, you know, the whole inflation and interest rate kind of dynamic feeds into our capital markets.
Interesting. So that's why I think media gives it a lot of attention, you know, whenever the numbers are released. So what I understand is the CPI numbers not only affect our household spending or grocery bills, but it has a profound impact on your investments and your portfolio also. So is there a strategy where investors can overcome this impact of inflation?
Yeah, so you're right. It does impact portfolio returns as well. Now, in a growing economy like India, some amount of inflation or price rise is considered as necessary even, because it shows that there is demand in the economy across sectors. And that demand is what will sort of fuel the economic growth further, right? However, inflation does lower the value of your money. So, you know, if we talk about 100 rupees today at 6% annual inflation, in 10 years' time, it will be worth, that 100 rupees will be worth just rupees 55. Now, if you're saving and investing, unless you're investing to beat this level of inflation in the long run, you will not be able to create wealth by growing the value of your money, right? You will only lose value thanks to inflation. So why is this important for the long run and not the short run? Honestly, it is important all the time in terms of our money and our investments, but it's not always possible in the short term to earn a return that's beating inflation, because you have to take some amount of risk to earn that higher return. Whereas typically money that you want to invest, say for a few months or a year or two, it does require a high degree of capital safety. And that's why, you know, money that you need in the short term, you're not really focused on beating inflation as such. And for the long-term money that you're investing, in order to beat inflation, you will have to take what I said earlier, some calculated risk. You have to buy through the volatility that you see in the near term and make good quality investments, which ride a kind of one business cycle of 7 to 8 years. Now, for this, you need what we refer to as growth assets rather than fixed return assets. Growth assets like equity and real estate, even where there is a possibility that the underlying price of the asset will increase, helps in creating wealth in the long run by beating inflation through return, which is basically the change in the price of the asset itself, and additionally with some dividend or rent. So there are also, you know, things like corporate bonds, which can pay you an interest, which may be higher than inflation. But here you have to again look at the quality and see if you're taking, you know, undue credit risk. I spoke about real estate, but real estate is also bulky and it's chunky. It's a physical asset which you can't buy in small lots, etc. So your effective strategy today, as you were asking, your effective strategy today for long-term wealth creation by beating inflation is really to have regular investments in assets like equities and other similar financial securities which have the potential to beat inflation.
Right. So, Lisa, most of our goals can be, you know, long-term in nature. So how do we align our investment equity portfolio for goals, you know, which are too far to visualize? Is there some calculation which investors can do and, you know, calculate how much they have to invest today to beat inflation over long run?
Yes, Ravi. So it is important to calculate, because, you know, just saying 6% inflation doesn't mean anything till you see the final number. Now, firstly, it's important to understand the impact of inflation on your money. So understanding the numbers, as I said, is important. As I mentioned earlier, 100 rupees becomes worth 55 in 10 years at an inflation of 6%. Similarly, if you have 1 lakh rupees, which you are saving and you do nothing with it, it will become worth 55,000 and so on. But that doesn't tell you the inflated value of what you need in the future. So if I'm sitting today and 10 years later, I need some amount, how do I know how inflation has impacted the value of that amount? For that, it's a reverse calculation. What you need is an assumption of an annual inflation. Last 20 years in India has seen the annual inflation at an average of 6%. Hence, that's usually what is taken into account in these calculations, an annual inflation of 6%. Secondly, you will need an estimate of the time period you're looking at. So when I say future financial goal, is it 10 years away, 15 years away, 20 years away? That will matter to the final inflated value of that goal. So now let's say your goal is to accumulate a certain amount for your retirement after 15 years. That's the assumption. Based on your expenses today, you estimate that a monthly expense of rupees 1 lakh is what you will need at retirement. Now, when we look at this 15 years later, so in the first year of your retirement, 15 years later, the value of this rupees 1 lakh inflated at 6% a year will be rupees 2.39 lakhs. The next year, it will be rupees 2.54 lakh. And the year after, it will be rupees 2.69 lakh. Now, this can be calculated by multiplying whatever that amount is. Like in our case, it was 1 lakh after 15 years. It is multiplied by 1.06. The 6 represents the inflation. And it is raised to the number of years that you're considering. Remember, I said it's important to figure out how far your goal is. Now, you can calculate this for, say, the next 20, 30 years because your retirement could, you know, extend over 20 years or 30 years. And then you add it all up to get a accumulated corpus, which you will require for your living expenses through retirement. This is the most basic way in which you can calculate. And you don't have to do it yourself because thankfully there are inflation calculators out there online and those should be just as useful.
Yes, I think as you rightly mentioned, if we have a concrete number in mind, it's just, you know, helps us be disciplined in our savings and investing. And of course, there are many calculators these days which can easily help you estimate your, you know, future value and how much you need to invest today. So, Lisa, what we come across, you know, it's the CPI inflation, which mostly people look at. But I see that there are different kinds of inflation numbers for different sectors, such as, you know, healthcare, be it, you know, medical, tourism, or for tourism, education, and, you know, things like that. So should investors apply a single rate of inflation, like 6% to calculate their expenses, or should they, you know, calculate differently for each goal?
Yeah, so no one rate of inflation is usually not the most efficient way to do it. The 6% that we are assuming is for your general expenses. The general rate of inflation in an economy, however, cannot be applied uniformly to everything. For example, as you mentioned, education costs are known to rise at an inflationary trend of 8 to 10%. Whether you're, you know, planning to have your children study in India, abroad, whatever, it is a higher rate of inflation. And medical costs can see a price rise of higher than 10% too. We know this anecdotally. It's not, you know, something that's talked about in mass media. So if you are planning your, say, child's higher education, you need, you know, to factor in inflation costs that are at this higher level of inflation, 8 to 10%, so that you ensure you don't miss the target. Because if you use a lower rate of 6%, you'll end up accumulating as per that rate and not as per the actual high rate of inflation on education costs. This holds true for, say, costs of medicines after you retire. Hopefully, you will have a Mediclaim policy that takes care of hospitalization, but still you will need to buy medicines and do regular checkups. You must pencil in a higher rate of inflation in terms of price rise in this component of your expenditure. For medical insurance, sum assured too, understand that you will be at least that much more after inflation in 15, 20 years. So when you're estimating what kind of sum assured you need for your medical insurance in your retirement, you must use this kind of higher rate in order to estimate that. These are the two main areas where inflation rates can be progressively higher than general inflation rates. In some localities, even things like house rent for a few years may be on a higher inflation trend. But again, that can't be generalized.
Right. Right, Lisa. So another trend which I'm personally observing is that, you know, as India's per capita GDP is improving, you know, people are having more disposable incomes. You know, earlier we used to eat out like once in a month, but these days people are going out dining, you know, every weekend. They're traveling a lot. There's, you know, like revenge kind of spending, especially after COVID. So people are, you know, spending a lot on lifestyle. So what are your views on lifestyle inflation?
Yes, Ravi. So true. It's, you know, people are, what, as they say, accumulating experiences rather than saving for the future. So lifestyle inflation is, well, also going to add to your annual expenses. But Here, unlike what we were talking about earlier, the price rise comes from increase in the level of your spending rather than price rise in, you know, the traditional sense. So let's say when you get a pay hike, you want to switch from using a perfume that, you know, is worth 5,000 rupees to something that costs 10, 12,000 rupees because you feel like you've earned it. You're doing better now, you're earning more. So you want to spend more. Or what a lot of people do is upgrade to a car that's at least 30% more expensive. Or they just start spending more, as you said, in eating out, dining outside, right? All this will cost you more, not because of general price rise, but because your expenses have shifted to a higher playing field. You want to spend more and buy more expensive goods, you know, have more expensive experiences. That is lifestyle inflation. And while it is not the same as regular inflation, the impact on your money is the same. You are spending more. The difference is that you have control over lifestyle inflation and not so much over the general inflation in the economy. So you must work on your behavior actually to keep lifestyle inflation in check so that you don't go overboard and spend too much. And you must also invest well to overcome the regular inflation that's out of our hands.
Yes, I think it's more to do with your behavior and discipline rather than the inflation itself. So Lisa, I just checked the latest CPI number for December was 1.33. And we are talking about taking the assumption of, you know, 6% while calculating our returns. So what's changing and why is it important?
Okay, that's a very good question. Now, as we were talking earlier, I think in the beginning, I mentioned that the official number of inflation, which is published, the CPI inflation, is based on the price of a basket of goods and services compiled by the Ministry of Statistics. If you see the breakup of that basket, and it's available online on the website, you will realize that food and beverages has the highest weight of around 36% for the urban basket and 54% for the rural basket. And it's a weight of 45% for the combined basket. Housing is another 20% in the urban basket and entertainment is 2%. So anecdotally, we know that regular food like vegetables, eggs, bread, milk, etc. for affluent Indians is not such a high percentage of their income, right? It would be 5 to 10% of the income. Now, even for the not so well-to-do, this component is less than 20% thanks to the rationalization of food prices over the years. We are talking basic food, not packaged or processed food. At the same time, entertainment costs have skyrocketed and so have housing costs. Thus, you may not be feeling like there is practically no price rise, which is what the 1.33% kind of represents, because your expenses are still rising. There is also, as we spoke, copycat lifestyle inflation, which is another culprit in this perception of rising expenses. But as I said, for the last 20 years, in the last 1 or 2 years, there is a difference. Last 1 year, rather, there is a difference in inflation, which has fallen. But last 20 years, average inflation has been 6%. And if we consider all that we spoke about just now, the lifestyle inflation and, you know, what we're spending on, that 6% is not unreasonable in practical reality of what we are spending. Ultimately, of course, you have control over your expenses. So the published number is just a guideline, it's just a benchmark for you to see. And at the same time, investing for the future is important because you will want to maintain the lifestyle you're used to living now. So it's better to pencil in inflation at a rate which you know is going to prevail for a longer period of time. This fall in inflation is more like a aberration. Hence, investing to beat a reasonable level of inflation in the long run is important rather than getting carried away by aberrations like this in the inflation reading that's published.
Yes, Lisa, I think this was an eye opener, and especially there are so many components within the CPI inflation which you know the government keeps track of. I think we have covered a lot of ground today, and I would just like to summarize my key learnings from this episode. So inflation directly influences interest rates, borrowing costs, and the corporate profitability, making it a critical factor for capital markets and your own investments. And beating inflation is essential for wealth creation. At 6% inflation, 100 rupee today will be worth only 55 in 10 years. So if your investments don't outpace inflation, you lose your purchasing power. Growth assets are your best bet for the long term. Equities and real estate may help you ride business cycles and generate inflation beating returns, unlike fixed return assets that often can lag behind. Now, you need to plan for varying inflation rates across expenses. For example, like we discussed, education and healthcare costs rise faster than the general inflation. So factor these in your financial goals. And lastly, lifestyle inflation is in your control. Upgrading your lifestyle with every pay hike can derail your savings. So managing your behavior is as important as planning for, you know, regular inflation. And lastly, inflation is a silent force shaping your financial future. So the key is to stay informed, plan ahead, and invest wisely to ensure that your money grows faster than the prices. So thank you, Lisa, once again for this insightful conversation. And we will catch you in the next episode soon.
Thank you, Ravi. As always, this was a pleasure.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
You are listening to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.